Hi, this is Gordon Karkner. This year, as a grad student community at UBC, we've been working on and digging into the concept of agape love. We've looked at various biblical passages, we've talked about cultural revelations of agape love, and we've talked about probably places in our culture and our world where there is the absence of all such love. We looked at perhaps in North Korea, some of the prison camps and the way people are treated so cruelly. Or even the daughter of Stalin, how she grew up in a world where her boyfriend would disappear because he came across in a negative way towards Stalin, her father. So there are places in the world where agape love is missing, but we do believe that the agape love is everywhere evident throughout the culture, throughout the world. And yet, many people seem to find a barrier or a cognitive dissonance with agape love. Perhaps they're a little bit cynical about it. Perhaps they have been hurt. Not exactly sure, but I want to read a bit from my book in Chapter 8 on the recovery of agape love for today's culture. And this is this section is called The Cognitive Barrier to Agape. And for this, I owe a debt of gratitude to a philosopher at Loyola University, Paul Moser. Today's cynic might test our proposal for agape love and ask why we do not see more evidence of such love in the world. This is a complex puzzle, one that is worth trying to resolve. Some of us may even have trouble reading and discerning the language of agape. It is often caricatured as a weakness, as it was by Nietzsche, pathetic sentimentality or pity. The cynic reads the New Testament story with a blurred vision, blind to the possibilities discussed in that great life-giving narrative of heaven coming to earth, heaven interfacing with earth, the incarnation. Many late moderns have problems believing in such a love, such spiritual food. It's not part of their daily conversation. Skeptics often want to treat evidence of agape love and evidence for God like a laboratory investigation. They cannot see the sign in the Advent, cannot discern the import of the storyline of the woman at the well who was seeking living water in order to become whole. They cannot fully grasp the profundity and the reform value of the liberating Sermon on the Mount, nor can they understand the reasoning behind the Good Samaritan story. It is a story that depicts compassion for a stranger or outsider, even a known enemy. They are baffled and bemused by scholars who would travel the globe to investigate, to do deep archaeological research, or spend their whole career investigating the backstory of agape love. There's no feeling of wonder for these people at the Advent miracle or the earth-shaking consequences of the resurrection of the Christ. Handicapped by moral blockage, blinded by scientism, cynics do not acknowledge divine love prima facie. We suggest that this is a phenomenon called a spiritual cataract, fuzzy vision. And solve this puzzle we must. Is such a love too fanciful, too distant from our experience of reality? Sullied as we are with jealousy and gossip, relational brokenness, greed and egotism, terror and violence, hatred and racism, are we settling for absence and emptiness, all the while missing the miracle of divine presence and fullness, the deep longings of our heart? Are many of us looking for God in all the wrong places or using the wrong filters to discover God? Do we proclaim that He and His love are irrelevant to our highest aspirations? Do we have the wrong research methodology or outdated interpretive tools? These are all important questions. Is there a controlling intellectual bias blocking our view? Has dogmatic rationalism shut out the transcendent that still haunts us even in our secular age? If God is in love with human beings, obsessed with their well-being, Why is it not more evident? Let's examine the nuances. So Loyola philosopher Paul Moser offers guidance and insight on this problem. Vexing problem it is. He suggests that we often misunderstand the rules of engagement. As a counterpoint to the skeptic's dismissal of the evidence, dismay, and mental block, Dr. Moser reframes the whole investigation. He says this, I quote, "Are we humans in a position on our own to answer the question of whether God exists without ourselves being morally challenged by God?" Revelation of this sort involves an encounter, divine cognitive grace engaging stony, resistant hearts and skeptical minds. This is what we have been hinting at throughout this dialogue. Nihilism is not our liberator, but our jailer. It owns our minds and hearts as its captives. So we ask, what kind of person will actually discover God, feel divine presence, experience and be transformed by the holy communion of agape? Courage, patience, and perseverance may help keep the conversation and the investigation open. Yes, of course, there's no magic cognitive bullet to answer all our questions, especially the ones about tragedy, evil, and suffering, the death of the innocents. But there may be an alternative posture available, one that can lead to different results. There may be hope of knowing and experiencing the transcendent God as love. If we are stuck in our own reasoning, it might help us to find some new interlocutors, people who offer a different outlook and a listening ear. Evidence for the God of agape love is not a scientific process where we treat him as a laboratory animal. Many of us have had this type of late-night impish discussion in dorms or at the local pub. Rather, says Moser circumspectly, it requires a seeker to approach with humility and undergo a personal examination. We need a new interpretive grid. Pride blocks the road to insight in this all-important big question. Moser informs us that we need the right motivation of the heart to deal properly with the hidden God. We need healing from our cynicism in order to see and perceive and discern and decipher. So when exactly do the data and questions prove revelatory and plausible? Let's try a thought experiment. What if the fundamentals in life are not cosmos, nebulae, and galaxies, matter and energy, time, space, forces and motion, protons and electrons, quarks and gluons? What if instead they are love, joy, peace, goodness, I-thou relationship, and purity of the inner self? What if taking responsibility for our neighbor, loving our enemy, is one of the most fundamental and important principles of life, even more fundamental than the law of gravity itself? Is love the core explanation of reality, the deepest depth? This investigation is not just about first cause or evidence of a designer or in a fine-tuned universe, as interesting and evocative as that may be. Agape itself sets the parameter for discovery and the rules of engagement. What if gratitude and humility are the hermeneutical key that we skeptics are searching for at the very core of reality, as opposed to raw power or matter? What if transitory material things are signs or expressions of God's love? Agape love is, we suggest, a cultural and spiritual holy grail, a win-win discovery for atheists, agnostics, seekers, and nihilists, as well as believers and people from various religious backgrounds. God may indeed show up for those who stop their cynical rant and attend more carefully to his positive, sometimes subtle, gestures and initiatives. The spirit and posture with which we attend to the details makes all the difference. At that point, the investigation goes through a radical recalibration. The data that was previously ignored or discarded can now be re-examined for its pertinence, immediacy, and relevance. A paradigm shift will occur over time as the data of our experience is reassessed. God's agape love directed at the human conscience is actually a deep invitational call to an existential depth. Late moderns from around the globe are capable of experiencing disclosure of this gift in the midst of transformation. Agape offers an enlightening grace that shines a scintillating light on inner depths and motivations. According to this outlook, Foucault's focus on beauty or the art of self is revealed as an agape substitute. There are many others in our culture today. Moser poses this critical question: are we, in fact, sincerely attending to the divine call via conscience and experience God agape in a way that leads us before the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus? Humility is a key posture or virtue in this quest. David Brooks agrees with this posture of humility in regards to moral growth. This produces a refraction of life from lived experience through a different prism to produce new insights and vision. A new picture of reality begins to form and come into focus. Within the horizon of agape, there is a move from shame to self-respect, vengeance to forgiveness, alienation for outsiders to support and protection of victims. There is an offer of reconciliation with one's deepest and most fragmented self, compassion for the poor, and even concern for one's enemies. So this little thought experiment from Paul Moser brings us to a new posture in the way we look at God and investigations into God, God's existence, or God's agape love. Is God good after all? Is God a loving God in love with us, his creatures? And how would we know? So this gives a little bit of insight in that process from my book, The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity. Thanks very much for listening.